This message was recorded at Leeds Vineyard during a Sunday morning service. Please feel free to copy it or forward it if it's helpful. We pray that it may be God's word in season for you today.
My talk is titled Worship of the Willing today, which is picking up on a theme from Exodus. Why are you laughing at me? Somebody's laughing at me if you're online. I hope you're not. But we're going to focus on some family business. So if you're a guest here, if you're a visitor, you're very welcome to listen in and to participate if you want. But we're a bit more focused internally than we normally are. Because from time to time, the last time we did this was 2019, actually. We gather together to make an offering for a particular major project of the church. And this is not part of our regular giving stuff. That's different. That's a different discipleship thing that we do. The whole of all the stuff that they were talking about up here that we do out in the community, and this on a Sunday, is all paid for by the people of this church on a regular basis. But Steps is a different thing. It's a joint enterprise. It's something we do together. It's a kingdom adventure. It's something out of the ordinary. It's something so big that we're compelled to step out in faith with a sacrificial one-off act of generosity. It's an act of worship as we respond to what we think God has called us to as a church. A couple of things that we feel he's called us to in Vineyard House is to create a place where the good news about Jesus takes practical shape, not just for tomorrow, but for decades to come. Now, this church has always been extraordinarily generous, and especially in times of economic hardship in its history. And we remind ourselves when we get to these sorts of points that everything belongs to God. In Haggai 2, verse 8, he reminds us, he says, "The silver is mine and the gold is mine, says the Lord." So he has everything. He has all the resources of the universe at his hands, and yet he chooses to release his resources through us, even in times of a cost of living crisis, maybe especially in times of a cost of living crisis. In the book of Acts, which is a sort of history of the early years of the church, we come across an interesting dynamic, which I think I'm going to return back to this at the end just briefly in the way we read Exodus. I think the people in Acts were reading Exodus, and it was influencing the way they lived. And there was a recurring thing that happened in the churches that were being started as we read through Acts. And one of these, this is one of the occasions. So the believers in Antioch decided to send relief to the brothers and sisters in Judea, giving everyone giving as much as they could. God was at work building this church community in Antioch, which is about 400 miles north of Jerusalem, north of Judea. The Holy Spirit spoke. There was a revelation from God. God was at work in the people. There was a revelation from God. And as so often when that happens, the people of God see and respond. And they respond with generosity. And I think that's modeled on what they learned in Exodus. So, back in 2016, before Vineyard House came on the scenes, we didn't have a building apart from renting this one on a Sunday. We were thinking about whether we thought it was time to start looking for buying a building. And we had lots of time in prayer and stuff. And the Lord spoke to us in many and various ways. And one of the ways he spoke to us was through a prophecy he gave to Alison, which I'd love her to share with you.
I'm just reading this from what I wrote down in 2016. And as David said, it's one of many. We don't just do something huge on the basis of one word. But it's interesting. So this is what I wrote. I had a real sense that going forward, the shape of our facilities are going to match or fit into the layout of the centre of Headingley. And I had a picture of, like, a drone picture of, you know, like they come and knock on your door for, do you want to buy a picture of an aerial view of your house? It was that sort of thing. In other words, not a huge new warehouse that is in Headingley or imposed onto Headingley, but almost like the existing buildings, the shells of the existing buildings will be essentially as they are at the moment, with church activity inside them, like a hand in a glove sort of fit. I sense that there won't be a big new vineyard building to see, But the buildings will look the same as they do now, but the activity inside will be kingdom stuff. And in lots of buildings, actually, surrounding this one, Headingley Methodist.
Thank you. Interesting, eh? What a wonderful word. That's really encouraging to me when I'm thinking, oh, goodness, what have we done? It's like the Lord knew, and he was helping prepare us for that. And so when the opportunity came, the people of Leeds Vineyard responded to what we thought was the Holy Spirit's revelation to us and to the need around us to give extraordinarily generously, which enabled us to buy Vineyard House and begin work in it. Ha! And then lockdown came, and just at the wrong time, and we began to learn all about waiting. Do you remember that waiting time? Everything seemed to be about waiting. We had we were teaching about that right at the time we had to start waiting. I'm not good at waiting. And after 2 years of waiting, we began to open up Vineyard House again, but we lost a lot of impetus over that. It was really difficult. And then last year, whilst on the run, on sabbatical, sorry, Alice and I were praying about the next step. What should we do with this old, iconic, rundown building to which the Lord had guided us? To be honest, brothers and sisters, I wasn't in a great place, and I was disillusioned about it all. I felt guilty after the impact of lockdown and not making much progress in using Vineyard House properly. I wasn't in a great place, and I knew that we needed to come back from the sabbatical with some idea, some sense of what the Lord wanted to do, as we had scheduled in conversations with our leaders and with the trustees. Two things happened when we came back from going on the run. The first was that we were hugely encouraged by the awesome work that had been done by Brian. Some of you know Brian. Some of you sitting next to him or her. I won't explain it. Ask somebody if you don't know what that means. But there was a whole bunch of people on a Project Refresh who had been working away, and the whole thing had transformed, really, moved up so many gears, and that was just so exciting. And I want to thank you to all of those who were part of that, making the building much more fit for purpose. That was the first thing that happened, which was like a yes. And then the second thing was Alice and I were walking in our local park and chewing over what to do prayerfully. And then we were batting backwards and forward, and I wasn't in, as I said, I wasn't in a very great place about it. And Alice, all of a sudden, she said these words. She said, "What would happen if we paid off the mortgage?" And that was, for me, was a Holy Spirit moment. And I suddenly saw it in terms of freedom. Freedom from debt. So we're going to talk about that in a bit, in a moment. I'm going to get some people to come and help me with that. That eventually coalesced into a proposition and a proposal I put to the leaders and to the trustees, that we have a New Steps campaign, this one, and that through the generosity of the church, we pay down the mortgage on Vineyard House. It isn't a huge mortgage, it's just enough to be a thing we want to get rid of. I'm talking to three groups of people, okay? Online and here. The first group are the people, those of you who were here 2017 when we had the First Steps campaign to buy Vineyard House. And you gave sacrificially. Many of you are here. Some of you have moved on to other places around the country. And part of the reason for this Steps campaign, part of the output from this, is that to ensure that your gift back, 5 years ago, 6 years ago, produces an abundant harvest. Whether or not you're here or watching online, or you hear about this because you're in some other part of the country now. Some of you who gave then are willing and able to do so again, which is great. And you're able to build up your investment in what we're doing. That's the first group. The second group are the people who were around at the time in 2017, some of you, but you weren't able to participate, to join in. For one reason or another, maybe you're a student and now you've got a job or whatever, but now is your chance. You've been watching it, you've done work in it, and you've served there, and you've cleaned it, and you've maybe had a group meeting in there, but now is your chance to invest there and participate in it and to get engaged with this kingdom endeavor. And then, of course, there's a third group of people, which are those of you who have come since we bought a Vineyard House and been watching from the sidelines in a way, and you would love to participate and play your part in this story too. So we're going to hear about how this works from a bunch of people. So Liz, William, Anne, Lizzie, can you come and join me up here? So we're going to do this and explain what the steps thing is. And then next week, and so you take away your pledge cards, you take away your prayers, you think, you talk. I'll come back to that in a minute. And then next week, Palm Sunday, we're back here for a celebration Sunday when during the worship we'll bring our pledge cards or something up to the front and we will symbolically throw them in a basket as part of our giving. Okay, so this week, oh, where are you all? Come here. Let them see you. So, first of all, this is the amazing Liz Harden, who is one of our pastoral staff.
Ooh,
and part of her job is to look after Vineyard House and help us with that. She has one of the roles there, as well as she's our Headingley pastor. So I've asked her to share a bit about what we're doing in and have been doing in Vineyard House, but also as part of our giving, we want to give away what we give here. So there'll be a tithe on the giving, and she's going to tell us a bit about that as well.
Yeah. So first, I just want to say hello to the young people watching from Vineyard House. We love you. Missing you. Things that are happening. So like I said, Vineyard House was dormant for 2 years, which was really troubling. But since opening up, we've had opportunities to serve. There's been cleaning inside and outside, scraping down and filling, painting and refreshing, restoring and renewing, hospitality, doorkeeping, people opening and closing up after people. There's been moving, sorting, organising of resources, activities that have been happening there as a prophetic and prayer groups, small groups, extended worship and intercession. It's work-based for LCCT, the UPA, and Leeds Vineyard staff. There's been Bible teaching, Bible reading. There's been youth activities, social and spiritual. The pantry's opened and serving the poor, drawing in some of the lantern. There's been planning and strategizing. The Vineyard project team meet there regularly. Leaders meetings, student groups, a Nigerian church are meeting there regularly every Sunday. There's planning and prepping large church events, things from gift collections, wrapping. There's been Alpha. There's been parties and events. There's salsa band rehearsals. The list goes on. That building is being used. Okay. But what is to come? That's the exciting thing, isn't it? Well, how's this all, what's this building towards? We have a Wellspring partnership in the process, in the pipeline. Wellspring serve counselling in Harrogate, so we're bringing that to Leeds. They want to partner with us for that. We have a youth counsellor coming who will be starting in April, so we're giving youth counselling to young people. The sanctuary we want to develop for, so the lantern project started last year with Cornerstone. We meet at the Greenhouse Cafe, but there is so much work to be done with these people. You know, we need to do just places they can drop in, they can get signposted to addiction therapy, all sorts of things to help them, and have haircuts, have a dentist drop by, do teeth stuff, medics drop in. So we just want a place that they can call home, can wash their clothes, have a shower. That's a place for adults with multiple and complex needs. We want to extend the work of the pantry beyond just feeding them. The child contact centre, there's so much more we could do with families. We want to provide large events for youth, for the church, heritage stuff, music, celebrations, forums, memorial days, multicultural days, dance groups and drama, 24/7 prayer room and meeting rooms for the community to come and use. We want to offer financial support and debt advice. We want to do more equipping and educating, having lessons there, training people, giving them help to find jobs, teaching English as a foreign language, family support, social services events, and practitioner forums where they come together and do that wraparound care. We've got people asking, can they come and do these things? School engagement, before and after clubs, holiday clubs, messy church, events around that celebrating being part of Headingley in this community. We've got people training to be kintsugi facilitators so we can provide kintsugi groups, drop-in centres, the owls, the elderly in our community, asking what's happening, is the building ready, can we come and use it? Partnerships with Heart. What about they're providing meals and banquets for people? There's so much opportunity. Supporting the council with forums and community engagement. Welcoming the strangers, the refugees. Radical families, supporting orphans in our community and broken families. There's a children's home on Otley Road. I didn't even know it was here. I only found out 2 weeks ago. Home for the homeless, family for the lonely. Welcome for the excluded, a place of healing, hope, restoration, equipping, sending, seeded in worship, intercession, compassion, and selfless servanthood. It's just the capacity and the opportunity. A while ago, there was a prophetic word that we should go pollinate, and God really brought that back to me as I was preparing for this, and I was thinking, you know, when a bee goes to pollinate, they go and collect the pollen, and then they bring the pollen back to the hive, and I just had a sense of Vineyard House being that hive. That is where the honey and the sweetness come and taste and see that the Lord is good, you know, and that's where the honey is going to become, because a community won't change unless the heart of the people is changed, right? So we need to draw, and just the thing of like the shops and the various places of our community are the flowers, if you like. We want to see it thriving and prospering, but the pollen is the people, and the bees collect the people and they draw them in, and they're turned into honey, the sweetness and healing of Jesus. And so all of that is incredible and exciting. When I think about it, I get so overwhelmed with what God wants to do. This isn't a community center. This is a place loving, thriving, buzzing with the goodness of Jesus and the faithfulness of God, changing lives from, and that leaves legacy from one family to the next. And so anyway, as David said, often when we have a big give, we tithe it, we give out to something else. And this year it's been decided that the tithe is going to go to Dreaming the Impossible. Now, Dreaming the Impossible is a youth event run by the Vineyard Churches, but for all youth across this country and beyond. There's even young people coming from Europe now. And this is the largest event that the Vineyard Churches do. Every year we see incredible things happen. Massive numbers of young people giving their lives to Jesus, saying, I want to serve him. We see young people moving and operating in the gifts of the Spirit. We've heard of pockets of young people even getting into deliverance ministry. They're actually challenging the stuff on people. It's just incredible, the stories that are coming out of DTI. And we've grown that to provide an academy where we're training young people to be leaders and church planters. We're also training and equipping youth leaders from the regions, not just in the Vineyard Church, but beyond as well. And it's incredible, but it all costs money. And DTI runs at a loss. Even though we're predicting 3,000 to 3,500 young people this year, we will still run at a loss. And until we can, it takes about 3-4 years for an organisation to kind of balance the books, if you like, as the numbers increase. So we reckon next year we'll probably be looking at 4,000. Once we start reaching 5,000, we will be making profit. So we are looking for that investment in the generation to come, that they might be those bees going pollinating and turning people into the honey and the sweetness of God.
Wow, I'm exhausted. Thank you, Liz. That's amazing. William is one of our trustees, and he sits on the Vineyard House project team. Over to you.
Somebody said recently that the trustees are a wise and diligent lot.
True.
And actually, it is true. I say it myself, of course. But it's been really exciting sort of working with trustees that really care and are prepared to ask the difficult questions, because actually that's what we're there for. When you sign to be a trustee, you have to sort of do six key things. And I want to sort of pick out two of those things if I can do. Because first of all, actually we're a charity, so actually we've got responsibilities. We've got to make sure that we do things in the right and the correct way. So the first duty a trustee has to carry out is to ensure that the charity is carrying out its purposes for the public benefit. So myself and my fellow trustees have to make sure the charity is sort of doing exactly that. You know, we're doing what we said we're going to do. And the wonderful thing is, and you've just heard it, I don't need to say it again, all those wonderful things that are actually happening in Vineyard House already and what's to come, it's super exciting, isn't it? And actually that's great because it fulfills the purpose of the church and the gospel, the bit that we're all called to do. And that's so exciting as a trustee to sort of see it coming out and working in action as well. So as trustees, we've actually been wrestling with a question about how we steward Vineyard House as a resource. And boy, it's a tough old question. And we've had to hold David and Alison to account for that as well. You know, we've had to ask those difficult questions that people don't like to ask. And it's been challenging, but we've, you know, through prayer and listening and supporting the leadership team, because actually we believe in their vision, we believe in it so much, you know, we believe that we're doing the right thing with this Steps campaign. And that's especially so with money. It brings me to the second duty a trustee has, and that's to manage your charity's resources responsibly. Okay, so we've got a duty of care to make sure that happens in the right way. We've got to make sure that we don't put the charity's reputation at risk. We've got to make sure that we don't overstretch ourselves. You know, and we've been tight. We've been tight on Vineyard House in recent months. But do you know what? It's great because actually we've got a God who cares. You know, Jehovah Jireh, our Lord provides, isn't he? And it's so exciting as a trustee to support the leadership team. And that's why we as trustees support the Steps campaign as well.
Great. Thank you, William. Anne. Anne is another one of our pastoral staff. And she, amongst many other things, looks after our governance and how we handle our money and things. So over to you, Anne. Explain this all.
I'll do my best. So all of us up here and those represented recognise that paying off the mortgage isn't the most exciting thing, isn't the most glamorous thing. Paying off someone else's mortgage, that's not high on the list. But let me try and envision you for why this is so important and what it will enable us to do. So I don't have enough hands. So Lizzie, I'm giving this to Lizzie. This is going to represent £1,000. It's actually 99 cubes, so she'll have to do some maths. No pressure, Lizzie. So this is representative. £1,000 isn't the real number. I can just only really cope with round numbers for the sake of this illustration. It's scalable. So this £1,000 represents all we need to spend on Vineyard House. So the mortgage, bills, all those projects, ones that are currently happening, and figure out how we fund that very long list that God's given us. Holding that intention with the vision and what David has reminded us of what Vineyard House is for. So I'm going to walk you back a year. So March 2022, Lizzie, you'd have to have given me, I'm the mortgage provider now, please can I have £300 for our mortgage? Now, we agreed a mortgage repayment holiday, so this was just the interest on Vineyard House. So you had a nice, healthy bit, £700 left to pay for all the stuff. Nice. She looks pretty happy. All is good. Some of you might remember mortgage rates started to increase across the year. You may, if you have a mortgage, have felt that and been looking at those figures yourselves. So January this year, Lizzie, it's now £600. Lizzie also now needs more hands. Leaving just 400 to pay for the same things. We're fortunate our heating bills haven't gone up too much thanks to a fixed rate we secured, but we are using the building more, so they're going up for that reason, but that is a good reason to be spending more on that. February this year, so last month, we started repaying the capital on our mortgage, as agreed. So, Lizzie, last month you would have given me £800. Leaving just 200 to pay for other things. Lizzie's face says it all, really. it's not so good. This £200 is, that's the stuff we really want to be doing. That's the project, that's the vision, that's the heart for this building. In May 2023, we know that our mortgage payments go up again. And we don't know how long that's going to keep on going. So what we're really saying is this STEPS campaign. Thank you, Lizzie. I'll let you rejuggle your hands to a more comfortable position. This is all about freedom. We really want to be in a position where we can have choices to make and not be having to give a big chunk of our income every month to pay the mortgage. The mortgage at the rate we agreed it when we took on the campaign was significantly less than it is now. And so that is a tension that the trustees have been balancing and holding and praying over and deliberating and hopefully not losing too much sleep over, but trusting God with. And this is just a way forward that gives us options. It gives us choices. It gives us that ability to respond to what God is doing, to respond to a need in our community in a practical way that won't necessarily cost lots of money, but just to be able to make that choice and not have to give all the funding that comes in to the mortgage provider, as lovely as they are, and they have been wonderful and supportive, and we are very, very grateful for all that they've allowed us to do. So we have some pledge cards. Let me explain these, which just highlight some options if you want to join in. I think they've been given out already. So there are a couple of ways that you could respond if you choose to. And if you can fill these cards in and let us know, what it will allow us to do is just to make some plans, to understand the numbers, to look ahead, to think about what we need to do, to talk to our mortgage provider and discern the right way forward. So the more information that you're able to give us in a timely manner, that's really helpful. We've suggested that you might want to consider a one-off gift, or if it's more helpful, to spread a gift across 3 months. If you're a taxpayer, you may or may not find it helpful to spread that across 2 tax years. We know we have some incredibly generous people, and in the past that has been a helpful thing. You can talk to me if you want to know more about what that could mean for you. Or a 5-year interest-free loan. And again, if you've got questions, you can come and talk to myself or one of the trustees or David about how that could look. There are bank details in here. If you're a taxpayer and we can claim gift aid on your giving, that obviously adds extra onto your gift at no cost to you. So that's an incredibly useful thing to be able to do. The bank details are actually on the pledge card. The bank name is really long. If you don't put the full thing in, it will just tell you that it doesn't accept it due to tightening bank regulations. So it's long and in there. We prefer not to handle cash. So if you can make a gift online, that is excellent. We don't want to be having to handle lots of cash, although we can accommodate cash and cheques if you need to. It's just not our preference. And so next week, there'll be an opportunity within our service to come with your completed pledge cards and any cash or cheques you may have and bring them to the front when asked to do so. There'll be some envelopes around if you'd like to keep what you've written on it private, just for those who need to know it to process the information. And we will all come together. And it is exciting. When we've done this in the past, it is so exciting to see that as part of our worship, those who are called to can come and respond with generosity. But if you can't come next week, you can email. There's an email address in here, givingatleedsvineyard.org, just so that we can add that into the mix. So there's lots of options of ways to get involved if you choose to.
Great, thank you. Thank you, all of you. I think that needs a round of applause. Thank you for that. Wow. Brilliantly explained and very inspirational. So let me wrap up with some reflections quickly on what the Bible teaches us about this, the worship of the willing. So I referred how back in Acts, which describes the early church developing and growing, how the early Christians responded to the word of God and to need with generosity. And I think they were riffing off some of the passages in Exodus. How about this one? Exodus 35, which you'll come to in a couple of days if you're with the program, reading it each chapter in a day. then this. And by the way, as you get to this end of Exodus, you'll find you'll be reading something. You'll think, I'm sure I've read this before, and you have. It repeats. Don't quite know why. Usually, when you repeat things, it's because it's important. So maybe that's why. Anyway, this is one of the events. And what happened was that incredible experience with God's presence on Mount Sinai. They'd had a series of epic encounters with God, not all of which were lovely. And they had a revelation of how God wants to dwell with them. Sally taught us about that last week, the 10 principles of life. They'd seen his glory. They'd seen his holiness. And it says that they withdrew from Moses' presence because he was really up there with God and friend of God, as Michael was saying. And everyone who was willing and whose heart moved them came and brought an offering to the Lord. I love that. Everyone who was willing. It's not manipulation. It's not a guilt trip. It's everyone who was willing whose heart moved them. Another translation of that goes like this. Every man or woman whose heart... Next slide. Everyone, a man whose heart moved him or her, and everyone whose spirit urged them, came, and they brought a donation of the Lord for the task of meeting, for all its work. So the response to the presence of God was something happened in their spirit. Their spirit met with the Spirit of God, and it turned them into willing worshippers and givers, and they outdo themselves in bringing donations. And if, when you get to that passage, you'll read about how they gave too much. Now we're not making a tent or a tabernacle or a temple here, but we do believe that Vineyard House is part of God's work amongst us. It was built 140 years ago for this type of thing, and has served partly in that over the last 140 years, and we believe he's given us the job of stewarding it and setting it up for the next 140 years of his work. That's what we're about today, in Stets. And if you're a follower of Jesus and you're part of this church family, or if you're just a friend, that's great. My prayer is that your spirit will encounter God's spirit, like that other translation had it. Your spirit will encounter God's spirit. That it won't be a manipulation thing. It won't be a guilt thing. That you will be urged. It said their spirit was, they were urged in their spirit to give to the work. Your spirit will encounter God's spirit. And then next week when we bring our gifts, for it to be an act of worship of the willing. Yeah? So you ask me, how do I get urged by the Spirit? What does that look like? What does it feel like? Let me just talk around that for a couple of minutes. One, we talk sometimes, if you've been to Discovering Vineyard, we will have talked to you about the phases of worship. And it's a model that we use for our sung worship. We were taught about how it goes through phases, and we often default to it. Not so much on a communion Sunday because we're doing other things, but we start by an invitation to worship, a call to worship, and then we move into songs which are praise, and they're telling how good God is and how much we love him and how immense he is and how he's worthy of praise. And then it moves into a time of intimacy where we say we love you, we give our lives to you, we lay our lives down before you, and it's an intimate moment. And then the final phase, as we go through these phases, is the giving of substance. And it's the output of that worship journey, is that we end at a place where we give. And it just comes from that place of worship, that response to the God who loves us, like we celebrated over communion, who forgives us and has grace for us. And our response of worship and praise includes this act of generosity, this giving of substance, which can be a really practical thing as well as music and song and other things. So it's a response to God's goodness to us in that process of worship. It's also just very simply, what I want you to do is to take those cards and this information here, maybe look at it on the website, and pray and ask and make yourselves available and say, I want to be part of this. What do you want me to do, Lord? And things will happen. It might be that you have or you will experience a change in your circumstances, some new information, or something's changed, and all of a sudden you've got a choice about what to do with some additional money or resource. Or it could be you hear something like an audible word from the Lord, or it could be a word that you hear in your inner ear when he speaks to you, or it could be something that you see visually, a word or a picture or something visually, and it could be out there or it could be with the eyes of your mind. So the Lord often gives me, when I'm just randomly walking through and I'll see a sign or an advert or something, and it'll reinforce something that he's saying to me. It could be like Alison, you know, a prophetic dream, or it could be an inner conviction. All of these ways are that the Spirit urges us. And if we're listening, if we're watching, if our hearts are sensitive to and our minds are sensitive to the Word of God, we will pick these up. But sometimes they're really quite subtle. The Lord often has a very quiet voice. He doesn't bash you over the head with it. And what he's wanting is for your response to be, I think you said that, Lord. I think this is what you want me to do. I'm going to step out in faith. One of the characteristics that you'll know this might well be the Lord is if it's sacrificial, if it's painful, if this is going to cost something, if this is going to alter your life in some way. I told you before the story, one of the ways this happened to me, and this is not to big me up, it's just to illustrate the point, which is that we had some friends come to stay with us, and they were a same size family as us, two young children, two adults, and they had a rust bucket of a Ford Fiesta with a week's worth of holiday piled on it and around it and in it and holes in the floor. And we had a second car, which was twice as big as their Fiesta. And I just felt the Lord say, swap cars. And so we gave them that car, and I ended up with a rust bucket, which lasted about 6 months before it stopped permanently. And that was a painful thing, because I like my cars, and I had to adjust my lifestyle and my expectations to obey that nudge, that the urging of the Spirit. It could be something like that for you. I would urge you not to do it on your own. If you're married, then this is a conversation to have with your husband or your wife. Alice and I, we're not very sophisticated about this. We'll say, what should we do? What do you think we should do? And we'll think about our savings, if we have any, or our income and whatever. And we'll sort of pray about it. We'll think, what should we do? And then I'll be thinking, and I think, I've got a sort of number in my mind. And she'll say, well, I'm thinking about this. And I'm thinking, oh, that's what I was thinking. It's not very profound and written in the sky. It's a sort of coming together of minds as we pray and as we ask. That's how it works for us. If you're not married, this is a good time to go and talk to your growth group leader, perhaps, if you're in a good growth group. And, well, all our growth groups are good, in a growth group. And talk to your growth leader and just say, can I just do a sense check on this? This is what I think God's saying. Do you think, you know, pray for me. And if or somebody else in your growth group, or a good friend, or somebody who you can do that with. So, part of this is, and for those of you watching online, is that I really feel, I have an inner conviction that I want everyone involved, from our very tiniest tots to our oldest people. So it's not really the amount that matters when we join together. This is what we call the common purse. We all put our little and our lot into one place, and it becomes the whole thing that we are doing together. Does that make sense? So this is, I just want to show you something. Now, some of you will hate this, so just close your eyes. Okay, like this. But some of you who like numbers and spreadsheets will like this. But this is just an idea of the way this could work out. So this is how sacrificial gifts of many become a single vision-releasing offering to God. Now, bottom right, we've got the target, which is around about 260,000. It's not a target. This is just, that's what the mortgage stands at the moment. It'd be great if that was what it was. If it's less or if it's more, we'll deal with that later. But that's, for purposes of a spreadsheet, that's the number at the bottom right-hand side, 263,000. We want to tithe what we give to DTI. So 10% of the gross amount means 29,000 going to DTI. Won't that be wonderful? What a way to spend 29,000, put it into the lives of young people. They need it, don't they? Which means that to be able to do that, we need to have about 293,000. So that could be made up like this. Well, we had a good start. Somebody, about the time I was making that proposal to the trustees, somebody gave a whole chunk of money to the church, and we put 25,000 of that as a seed for the top number in blue, the seed for this. So that we've already got a kickstart of 25,000. And then there might be one person who, for some reason, maybe they've sold a business or they've inherited some money, they want to give £66,667. That feels like a lot of money, doesn't it? The last time we did this, somebody gave £100,000. So I'm just putting it there because maybe somebody is nudged by the Lord to do that. And then there might be two people who can give £25,000. That's quite a lot of money too, actually. But there may be two people who do that. And then five for £10,000, and 10 who could give £5,000, and 25 who could give £1,000, and then 75 who can give £100. And every pound has the same value in the common purse. And then in green, I'm thinking of the children and the young people. Maybe they could give £5. 25 of the young people or children could give a fiver. And then the people for whom cash flow is an issue, maybe £500 over 3 months. That's a total of 1,500. Maybe 10 people could do that. Or 10 people could do £100 over 3 months. Or 10 people could do £25 a month over 3 months. And then maybe children, 25 of them could put their pocket money in £2 a month for 3 months. Mind you, I never gave my kids £2. That would have been very generous. It's not going to happen like that, but it's just an illustration of how these things come together. Okay, and it's quite, for some of us, it's quite helpful to look at that and think, oh Lord, where do you want me on that? Sort of what zone am I in? And some of you will right now be thinking, that's me, that one there. But don't be held to it. It's just an example. Yeah? Is that right? You're not offended by that? The people who like spreadsheets aren't offended. The rest of you are. You got your eyes tightly shut. So we're running over time, but I do want to pray. So we're going to do really quick. We're not going to do the worship part of it. I'm just going to invite you to stand. Please stand. And we're going to do rapid fire prayer, but without the music. So I'm going to invite you to come quickly because we need to stop. But I want us just to put this before the Lord in prayer. I want us to pray about what's going to happen. I want to pray for the Spirit to move us, for the Lord to bring to completion what he started, for his purposes to be fulfilled, for us all to encounter Jesus in this exercise. I want to pray for an abundant harvest. So would you please come now? Don't be shy. Those of you who are prayers, come to the front now and grab this mic and do a 10-second prayer for steps. Are you ready? Go. Come on. You're all waiting for one person to go first. Liz goes first. She always goes first. Now the rest of you can come behind her. Come on, we need you to come straight away. So please.
God loves willing volunteers as well. Father, I just thank you that we have the opportunity to make a difference in Headingley. And we just pray you open up our pockets and our bank accounts and give us favour financially. Amen.
Yeah, Lord, I thank you for that long list of things that Liz gave us of what we could be doing into the future. I just pray you'd bless that, release that, in Jesus' name.
Come on, we need some more people to pray.
Yeah, God, thank you that you provide always, and we just ask that you'll open heaven's storehouse so that we can give generously.
Amen. Lord Jesus, thank you that you respond generously to our generosity. Mm. So. Give us the freedom and the peace and the courage to give so that you can bless us in turn. Amen.
Amen. We need another half a dozen people, so come on.
And Lord, we know that we can't do this on our own. This is way bigger than we can do without you. But we just want to say that we trust you and we We just surrender the outcomes to you, and we trust you that when we step out in faith, you meet us and you provide in ways that we couldn't even have imagined.
Yeah. I want some men to come and pray. More men. Sorry, Helen. Go.
It's ready? Fine.
I want you as well.
Thanks. Yeah, Father, we love to worship you, and may this be an act of worship, an act of surrender, declaring that you are our King, that everything that we have is yours, and that we give it back freely to you, knowing that you provide, you love us, you care for us, and we want to be part of what your plan is in this place. Amen.
Father, thank you for that reminder in Exodus that when people were asked to donate to the temple, the building of the tent, they gave what they had and there was plenty left over. But I was also reminded, Lord, that that wasn't their own. They had been given that by the Egyptians before they left Egypt. You give to us so that we can give on and pay that forward. So thank you.
I was reminded of Isaac, the sacrifice of Isaac, and how painful that must have been to carry him and the sticks. And I just feel it will be painful for some of us, really painful. It will feel almost like we're giving a child. But when he got there, there was the ram in the tree, and I just feel like for whatever we give, God is going to do something beyond what we can imagine, both in our lives and the lives of this project. So, Father, I just want to thank you that you outgive us always. And I pray that we would be able to journey the painful part, knowing that you are utterly dependable and faithful. And just help us to know in our hearts what it's us that you are asking of us, and help us to walk with you in it. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Heavenly Father. A simple seed planted in the ground can bring forth something valuable. Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
Lord, we took over the management of a building in Headingley after hearing from you, and then the world changed, but you never changed. You're the same today as you were yesterday. And I ask now for a tsunami of your grace and your blessings and your encouragement as we bring this building into the 2023 and 2024 and decades to come. Yeah. Lord, give us a tsunami of helpers and volunteers. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Jesus, I pray for your joy to fall in this place. For your excitement about what could be. And I pray that you would help us to share the good news of what you're doing in Headingley with everyone we meet, and I pray that you would introduce us to millionaires and to businessmen and to others who would catch sight of what we hope to do in this place, and that your generosity is not just limited to those who call this place home, but your generosity is limited by our view and our imagination. So open us up, give us your vision, give us your energy and excitement that we could pass that on and introduce people to a way they can get involved in something precious, whether they know you yet or whether they don't. Mm. Amen.
Amen.
Father in heaven, I pray you'd plant in all of our hearts a vision of the blessing that you want to bring through Vineyard House and through this community.
Amen. Amen. So when this happened in Chronicles, David prayed this prayer. Oh Lord, he said, may you be praised forever and ever. Yours, Lord, is the greatness, the power, the glory, the victory, and the majesty. Everything in the heavens and on earth is yours, O Lord, and this is your kingdom. We adore you as the one who is over all things. Wealth and honor come from you alone, for you rule over everything. Power and might are in your hand. So we thank you, Lord, that everything we have comes from you. And we commit this endeavor to you. In Jesus' name. Amen.